Tweet at TodaySOR.
Ellen has been in touch from Tinahili to say she was in Goree yesterday afternoon. The town was buzzing, very busy. And she says Goree has a great variety of shops, businesses, restaurants, etc. Thanks for that, Ellen. Also, just in news, Justin, I see that members of the Psychiatric Nurses Association have voted by 80% against acceptance of Labour Relations Commission's proposals for the staffing of a new acute psychiatric unit at University Hospital in Cork. Now, dementia describes a range of conditions that cause damage to our brain. It can affect memory, thinking, language, as well as our ability to perform everyday tasks. A pilot project in South Tipperary has been one of four nationally to look at new ways of helping people living with dementia to remain at home for longer. Our reporter Brian O'Connell has been meeting with people working in this project and he joins me now. Brian, what's different about this approach?
Good morning, Sean. Well, basically, the dementia project was given €700,000 by the charity Genio. And that was really to transform the life experience of people with dementia and their families in South Tipperary and three other locations nationally. Now, they've done this in a range of ways by providing family carers who've got a particular expertise in working with people with dementia, by also encouraging people to come forward for early diagnosis, and then as well by helping ensure that people can remain at home and in their communities as long as they want with the right supports.
Now, you met people, or you met some of the people who have been assisted with the project. And you're talking first to a man who was diagnosed with dementia, what, about 3 years ago?
About 3 years ago, I met with Eddie and Maureen Scott, and they're from Golden in Tipperary. Eddie is 75, he has dementia. And the family have been provided with three different care workers by the project. Michael is their latest support worker, and he helps them on Thursdays. And what he does is he comes, calls to the house, and he takes Eddie out. And they might go for a walk, Sean, or they might go and have a coffee, or they might meet other people. So it's just taking him out and engaging with the community. Here is Eddie in this clip talking about when he first noticed that something was wrong.
I found my all my life I was doing cows and cattle and tillage. I have most of the place leased now, and I'm quite happy. I'm delighted to have it done, because you come to a stage in life and you just can't carry on. I used to have the tractor worked on the farm up the road and all, but I could come down and I wouldn't know where I have left, you know.
When did you notice, Eddie, that something was setting in?
Even I could have parked the tractor, maybe opened the farm up the road, and I might have known when I left it, you know. Yeah.
And were there other things like that?
There was. Things you could go up the road and you might be doing something, and next thing, you'd forget where you were, you know. Yeah, you would.
And you're very aware of it. What's the hardest part of it?
The hardest part of it, I suppose, is when you go out meeting people, you know, and we might forget what you were talking about, you know. That happens to me all right a bit, yeah. Yeah, I miss driving an awful lot, yeah.
A couple of years since you drove, was it, Eddie?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
2 years, over 2 years, yeah.
What do you miss about it? Is it the fact that you can get up, sit in the car and off you go? You're not reliant on somebody?
No, I can drive into Golden for the paper, you know. I do miss all that now, like, you know, I do, yeah, I do. If I was on my own, just say, now, God, I'd be right today. There's nowhere I could go, isn't that right?
Michael is your support worker at the moment from Genio, and
yeah,
he's a great help.
He is, yeah. Mm. Oh God, he's excellent, actually. I look forward to him coming, I do.
If there's anybody listening who might be a bit forgetful and thinking to themselves, God, that sounds very familiar to me, to what I might be going through, what advice would you give them, Eddie?
The advice I would give them, do the best you can to cope with what you're going through.
Good advice there, it would seem, Brian. Eddie sounds very lucid, and you also got some insights from his wife Maureen about how Eddie's dementia manifests itself.
Yeah, Eddie was in good form when I met him on Wednesday, Sean. And again, I suppose the strength of the project is that he can remain at home with specialist carers who understand dementia. Now, this is his wife, Maureen, and she's talking with Eddie here in this clip about how Eddie's short-term memory is impacted.
You would forget if the boys were home or not home.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he'd go into the bedroom looking for the boys and maybe they're not at home. And it's the here and now that Eddie forgets totally. I mean, you could tell him something now and 2 minutes later he will have it totally forgotten. Our youngest son had his 21st birthday there in February.
Yes.
And we had a lovely night, just the four of us. And we went in and had a meal and came home here. They're not lads that want any kind of fuss whatsoever. I was even told if I brought the birthday cake in to the restaurant, they were not coming.
Yeah.
Don't want any fuss, anything. So as I say, we had a meal in Cashel and came home and had the birthday cake and sang happy birthdays. And I have lovely photographs of Eddie and Owen together. And the next morning, Eddie got up and said to me, "What day is it?" And I said, "It's Saturday." And he said, "Any account of the lads? Are they coming home this weekend?" And that lovely memory was gone.
Yeah.
And that's what I find, you know, the hardest. It's those kind of memories. I remember them. And, you know, if I say to Eddie, "Do you remember Owen's birthday?" And he'll say, "Oh, yes, yes, yes." But, you know, he doesn't. That's terribly hard.
It must be, Brian. Just so poignant listening to Maureen there. And one thing we heard, though, the importance of keeping active and being stimulated. And you also dropped in on a place where technology is being used to help people do that.
That's right. As part of the project, I visited the Memory Technology Library. That's situated, Sean, in the grounds of the South Tipperary General Hospital. And what it does, it showcases a range of products that would help people living with dementia in a real-life setting. So I met Simone McGoldrick, and in this clip here, Simone is describing some of the items they have which help people with dementia.
It's a very simple and a very cheap device that plugs into a landline phone, and you can put in pictures on large squares instead of the numbers, and then if the person wants to make a call, all they have to do is press one of the squares and it will ring through and you can talk over it.
So you'd have a picture of a family member and you press that picture and it dials their number.
Yeah, dials it straight through. And then we have things like simple mobile phones, which you only have to press two buttons on, and there are four family members that you can call. We have talking photograph albums. I can show you through. We have a simulated bedroom area, but we also have...
So just as we walked in the door, an alarm went off there?
That's one of the movement sensor alarms that we have around the building. But in this room, we have a bedroom, so we have the bed mocked up, and we can show a range of different sensors that can be helpful. If you're wanting to prevent somebody from falling, if they're at risk of falls, you can use different types of sensors to monitor when somebody's up at night. And then we have a range of examples of activities that people can still do when they've got dementia. And some of the things that we have here, people with dementia have made. So we've got a very nice crocheted blanket that people have made, artwork, reminiscence activities, and adult appropriate games and puzzles that are for cognitive stimulation, because it's very important, I suppose, not to use childish activities, but still to provide fun for somebody's well-being.
So that's Simone McGoldrick there from the Memory Technology Library, Brian. You also met people caring for loved ones who have dementia, and the supports being provided, I suppose, they're about as much about giving them some time out as they are about helping the people with the condition.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Sean. If somebody is to stay at home, then I suppose key to that is keeping the carer happy and making sure that they have some downtime as well. So I met two people caring for loved ones, and the first person I met was Eleanor Sweeney, and she cares for her mum, Kathleen, who has dementia. Kathleen is almost 93 years old and was diagnosed 4 years ago, Sean. So here's Eleanor talking about the supports she gets.
At first I got some help, you know, say 2 hours a week, which was brilliant. A girl came out and sat with her, and they... would have talked about what Mem would have liked and whatever, and Mem loved playing the piano, and she'd play the piano maybe for her for a while, and Mem moved in with me, so I got more hours than that. At the moment now I have 6 hours a week. Those 6 hours are so important to me.
Describe dementia to somebody who might have had no experience of it.
Yeah, well, to me it's kind of quite sad, because you could be asked the same question 10 times in 5 minutes. A lot of it would be, "I want to go home," the whole time. And you know that you're doing nothing wrong, that they're not unhappy, but it's just they go back to their childhood, and, you know, they're looking for people that aren't there, that are long gone. They'll ask you about people that are long gone. The hardest thing at times is the repetitiveness of stuff that you're asked about the whole time, and you have to be in good form the whole time.
And it is important that you would get supports, isn't it? Because I can imagine it takes a huge toll.
Oh, it is. It's terrible important. Like, as I say, those 6 hours I get in the week, they're so important to me now.
That's Eleanor Sweeney there, Brian. Now, another family you met was the White family, and another case of a daughter caring for her mother who has dementia.
Exactly. I met Joan White. Joan lives in Clonmel. She's been looking after her mum for the past 6 years, Sean. So her mother's dementia started when she was 87. And at that time, her mum was still driving, still playing cards every night. And here's Joan talking about how she feels attitudes towards dementia have changed.
People probably didn't recognise it years ago. You know, people said, you know, they were cracked, or, you know, they're for the birds or for the fairies or whatever.
Or it was old age.
Old age, yeah. But, yeah, there's so much help out there now, you know. It's unbelievable, really, what help there is there. I couldn't have managed without it. You know, I couldn't have my mother here for the past few years. She would be in a home, you know. You know, I suppose for her it's a little bit of dignity in her old age, isn't it?
For somebody who might be listening and may have no idea of what it's like living with somebody who has dementia, can you give them a sense of it?
The number one thing you need to have a lot of patience with them, you know. And you have to go with them all the time. If you go against them, you know, that just doesn't work, you know.
And in relation to your mum, how does it manifest itself?
Well, she's pretty quiet now, but a few years ago, her behaviour was pretty erratic, you know. She used to get into rages and, you know, she could, it could last for a few days. She would often say to me now, you know, this is very hard, I can't do this anymore. She looks to go home a lot, you know, and she would often call me by a different name, maybe one of the ladies who come in, or she might call them, you know, my name. It's very sad to watch somebody, you know, to go like that, you know, to lose their mind, you know, it's not nice.
It's an aspect of life where things come full circle, where you at some point in your life were cared for very similarly,
right,
by your
yeah.
mom, and here you yeah. are now in that role and you're giving
right.
that care back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's like the child now and I'm like the mother, you know. I often say to her, you know, I'm your daughter, and she looks at me and she can't comprehend that at all, you know. She doesn't understand that.
And that's Joan White there, Brian. I did say these were stories of hope, and there's a poignancy there, and I suppose a quiet desperation coming through. And the hope is that there are at least there's the backup provided and the respite and so forth, and the people befriending others. But there is, I gather, some concern over how the project will be funded into the future.
That's right. Half the money provided came from Atlantic Philanthropies and the other half from the HSE, Sean. So the current funding will end in October, and discussions are ongoing with the HSE to see how they will fund the project, or if they will fund the project outright. I'd met with Dr. Katrina Crowe. She's a consultant in old age psychiatry, and she'd shown me around the project, and she was making the point really that if a project like this existed in communities around the country, it would ultimately save the taxpayer. And I suppose what they're about doing as well, Sean, is radically changing our understanding and acceptance and the whole issue of stigma that goes around dementia.
Brian, thank you for that report. That's Brian O'Connor reporting there. Lots of text on this. I'll bring you just two. John says, I think dementia is the cruelest of all illnesses. I quote, unquote, I lost my dad a number of years before he actually died. It really is heartbreaking. And Damien in Kildare says, my father died 6 weeks ago today. He was just 66. He had dementia, which developed into Alzheimer's after he was aged 57. And listening to your speakers reminds me of many of his early experiences of memory loss. Apart from the wonderful help we received from our local medical team, there is a serious void in the amount of help available for dementia and Alzheimer's sufferers in Ireland. Our experience of the lack of that specific care was not good. Thankfully, we managed to keep Dad at home and care for him ourselves to the end. Thanks for that, Damien, and thanks to everybody else who texted us on 51551 or emailed today, sor@rte.ie. Next up, The Gathering.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.